It is time to welcome in Dr. Judy Werpin and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and Before Her Voice Was Still, a brand new book. And we welcome in Dr. Werpin. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and it's nice to hear your voice again.
And yours. And
thank you, thank you.
And you've learned a lot.
Things are much better, so happy to be back and talking with both of you.
Yes, and
even though the problem, the topic I'm talking about is unfortunately sad and probably without too many good solutions, but anyway, be happy to discuss it. You know, I have to tell you, Jill, that I was really motivated to talk about this topic, which is why people who gain weight on antidepressants aren't getting the help they need. Because I'm on a mailing list for a wonderful organization called NAMI, N-A-M-I, which is the National Mental Health Alliance. And I saw a notice among the various events going on under this, you know, national organization. There was going to be a week devoted to eating disorders. And I thought, wow, this is really great, because people who are on antidepressants often find that they make the unhappy transition from being in total control of what they're eating. Don't snack, they don't eat overly large portions, they don't have any particular cravings, you know, and they also exercise, by the way, to having just the opposite, to always craving, you know, beset by cravings, not feeling satisfied after they eat a meal, feeling tired, not being able to exercise, and gaining a good deal of weight. They can. I thought, oh, so NAMI is going to discuss this finally. And I contacted the person whose name was listed there as sort of organizing this meeting on eating disorders. She said, oh, no, we don't talk about that. We talk about eating disorders, you know, anorexia and bulimia and binge eating, etc.
Oh, my gosh. Did your head
even heard of this problem.
Did your head explode? Because I know so many people just, you know, very well-meaning, attempting to educate themselves. Off they go to a, you know, these symposia and to find out information. And they don't, you know, it's always about the condition, never about the underlying or the underlying situations or anything you might possibly want to do about it. And obviously what we're talking about is the fact that weight gain is a very prevalent side.
Among people who are on these antidepressants, mood stabilizers. And I think, look, if it had just been a meeting of eating disorders, you know, the association does really good things in terms of educating people and trying to find good solutions. But this was a meeting associated with, you know, a national organization to help people with mental illness. So if they're not doing anything about this, well, who is? And I was, several months ago, I had a meeting with a group of psychiatrists at a local, actually it was a VA hospital. Where a colleague and I were trying to do some kind of a research program with veterans who've gained weight on antidepressants, and we wanted to ask the psychiatrist if they would help identify people who would be interested in entering this program. And so we met with about 10 of them, and we, you know, talked about the problem. And my associate, who is an internist, said, you know, there are lots of problems associated with obesity, and these veterans have enough problems, and let's try to prevent them from, you know, developing diabetes and hypertension, you know, orthopedic problems, by identifying the fact that those who are going to be gaining weight and doing something. The group of psychiatrists said to us, oh, we don't weigh our patients. Oh, we don't discuss their weight. No, never, because if we do, maybe they won't stay on their medication. And, you know, if they come in and complain about weight gain, we try to find another medicine that might be as effective. But that never, never comes up in our discussions. Okay, so then what do you do? And I guess some of the therapists will say, well, just go off to Weight Watchers or follow a keto diet or go off to a gym, not realizing that these people who are in need of help have a drug in their brain that's making them eat. I mean, it's like saying to somebody who has a drug in your brain making you lose your hair, oh, that's okay, just, you know, go off to a weight, you know, somebody who is going to, you know, turn you from being bald to have a full head of hair, not realizing there's a drug that's making him lose weight. And you would never expect that to happen. But it's like people are just closing their eyes. Like, I'm not talking about the people who are gaining the weight, but the people who are trying to help them with their, you know, mood problems and associated problems. They just close their eyes. Well, they don't notice it. It's not going to happen. And Jill, this has been years now. We're not talking about the first year. These antidepressants came out. You know, some of them have been causing weight gain since the late 1950s. So I think you and I are the only ones shouting into the wilderness about this.
Yeah, and I think that it's so simple that people, you know, it's so comforting when somebody hears that, oh my gosh, this is actually, as they say in the vernacular, a thing.
Yeah, yes, and you know, and then if they're not given the right kind of diet, if they're put on a, for example, a keto diet, which definitely will decrease serotonin, and they're taking a medicine, an antidepressant, that's supposed to increase their inactive serotonin, and they're on a diet that's making even less serotonin to be activated, where is the sense in that? And yet, you would ask, you know, you just do a survey of both therapists and dietitians, and they won't have a clue. In fact, I had a dietitian call me up to ask for advice on how to lose weight because she was on antidepressants. And I was talking about how important it was to eat carbohydrates because that was the only way her brain would make more serotonin. Oh, she said, we never learned that in school.
And it just,
so another dead end, as it were, right?
And the other thing that goes with that is you some people do know about it, but they – I had this with somebody recently who wouldn't get on a certain she wouldn't get on something because she didn't want to put on weight.
Well, of course, that's why the psychiatrist said we don't touch the issue of weight because these people are coming to us with depression and panic disorders and generalized anxiety, etc. And if we even suggest they might gain weight, they'll stop taking it. But on the other hand, if they knew that they might gain weight, they can take preventive steps. They can make sure they have a diet that increases their serotonin, which, by the way, not only will make their mood better, but I mean, because the antidepressants will be working on it, but will also cause them to feel satisfied after eating and will take away their cravings. They can find somebody, you know, in a community exercise program or gym who will help them exercise even though they may be feeling quite fatigued. They might be able to find other people who are going through this way they are, this weight gain, possible weight gain, and get some support. But I mean, because obviously they need to take the drug. You know, it's like saying, I'm not going to go on chemotherapy because I might lose my hair. Right. But the things that they can do, but nobody is giving them that information except us.
Right. And that's the
and
part.
I guess it's just the two of us.
And that's the part that it's like the information. How long has that information been out there? You did your studies when?
Oh, about 15 years ago. That's when people started noticing the weight gain on the antidepressants. And because I was working, I developed a weight loss center for a Harvard-affiliated psychiatric hospital. And people came to us not from the hospital alone as outpatients, but from the community because we advertised that we were going to help people who are on these medications try to lose weight. Nobody was doing this. You know, we found that our approach helped them lose weight. We published this. And I thought, wow, you know.
Yeah, we're good.
Everybody in the psychiatric community, you know, is going to stand up and say, that's such a great idea. We're going to do this too. A deafening silence followed. And
no.
It still exists. And I said, if this National Alliance for Mentally Ill People doesn't even recognize it, where am I going to go? Where's anybody going to go who needs this help?
Well, but and then, unfortunately, you have to say without being negative, you have to say, wow, that's a prevalent condition in a lot of things. You know, it's like, well, this is, you know, what goes on behind the top line, headline, et cetera.
Yeah, and I must say one thing. There are, in fairness, a couple of universities have programs for the severely mentally ill, which they are given enormous amounts of care, you know, with a one-to-one facilitator who will help them on the diet, exercise, enter into social activities in the community so they're not isolated and end up, you know, overeating just out of boredom, et cetera. Very expensive. can only be done on a research basis. No follow-up to see what happens to these people when the program is halted. And also, these are people with really severe mental illness. But for people who are able to go back to work, you know, have their family life, have a social life, but, by the way, are now 30 or 40 or 50 pounds heavier, but they're out in the community, they're just normal people like you and me, except they unfortunately weigh more than they ever, ever expected to. There's absolutely nothing. So, I mean, except our book.
Right. It. And do you want to give away the secret sauce?
Oh, of course.
And so what
people went with our serotonin power diet website. There is a support group of I think about 300 or 400 people who talk to each other, and we also have, you know, recipes and suggestions and private counseling. But I'm not doing this really to promote that. The reason. The reason is I want other people to start doing this as well.
Right,
so
and
that it becomes a national process, not just a, you know, a local regional process.
Right, and the people should know that there actually is something that you can do, because I have to say, once someone knows there's something you can do, it changes everything. So
yeah,
all right,
exactly. Anyway, it's great talking to you.
And
I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Things are going well.
Very
okay,
good,
bye-bye.
Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.